Good afternoon. We're here with another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. I'm pleased to introduce an esteemed guest, Coach Dino Gaudio. Coach Gaudio recently came over to Louisville after being in the ESPN studios the last 7 years, but Coach Gaudio has had a long tenured process in both the high school and college ranks, and now he is back at Louisville. So, Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and missed coaching, and a great opportunity came my way. I coached Chris Mack back in 1990 at Xavier, and we were assistants together and at Xavier and at Wake Forest. So it's a great opportunity in the office here at Louisville, and doing just great.
Well, that's great to hear. And that, you know, that's one of the first things I wanted to ask you was, obviously, you've been an analyst for the last, 7 years and been in the ESPN studios covering the game. But what kind of brought you back into the coaching career?
Well, you know what, Sean, I I'm a coach at heart. I mean, I started out as a JV basketball coach in Wheeling, West by God, Virginia. And, 20 years later, I was a head coach in the ACC and, had the number one team in the country. So, I think when it's in your blood, you really miss it. And when I was doing the TV stuff, I enjoyed it thoroughly because it kept me in the game. Heck, I probably saw over 100 practices over the 7 years, and I can't tell you how many shoot-arounds. But when you're not coaching, and every fall, Seth Greenberg and Fran Fraschilla and I, would call each other and just commiserate because we didn't have a team, we didn't have a coaching staff. You miss the camaraderie, you miss being around the kids and being around coaches and talking the game every day. So, Chris and I had talked down through the years. He's had a couple opportunities, and during those times he would say, hey, if I took the job at XYZ University, would you come? And, we would talk about it and stuff, and for whatever reason, he never took the job and, never came to fruition. But when the Louisville thing, the opportunity presented itself, and he took two of his staff members with him and asked me if I would come, I thought, A, I've known Chris for 28 years. We've coached together. We sort of had the same mentor in Skip Prosser, so philosophically we're on the same page. And, it's just a great opportunity. I got one more run in me. I'm 60 years old, and I'm just really looking forward to it and excited to be here. But just missing the game is what drew me back to it.
And you took the position in April, I believe, right?
That is correct. I want to say it was maybe April 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere along there. And then, just jumped right into the recruiting because, as you know, those last two weekends in April were AAU recruiting weekends with the respective sneaker companies. So, yeah, I just jumped right in and on the road. And I was lucky, Sean. They got two guys here, Luke Murray and Mike Pegues, that are just terrific recruiters. Now, I've been around the game the last 7 years, at the collegiate level and watching so many of the guys I had the good fortune of coaching that are playing in the NBA now. But I had separation with the high school kids. And those guys, Murray and Pegues, did a great job of steering me in the right direction. And they would say, Coach, why don't you take these 10 kids and recruit these 10 guys? And these are the contacts, and this is where you need to go. So they really made the transition for me in a recruiting sense. Not that I needed to redo the recruiting. I knew exactly what I wanted to do and how I wanted to recruit these kids, but identifying the kids and which ones I needed to go after.
Yeah, I know I saw you briefly at the Dallas EYBL and all the events were, or most of the events were out in Dallas that period, but I could imagine, taking the position in April and really only having 2 weeks before you're on the road was probably a little bit of an adjustment, or maybe it was kind of, like riding a bike. Once you got back in it, it was good. But, one thing you mentioned was kind of the talent identification, and with a whole new staff at Louisville and joining Chris Mack, obviously he's coming from Xavier, but now to the ACC. What type of guys are you guys looking for as you start to build up the Louisville program in your way?
Yeah, I think the two things, and this has never changed for us, from day one at the collegiate level when I started in 1986 at Xavier, I think, and Chris's philosophy is the same. I mean, obviously they have to have a certain skill set to play in the ACC. Like, I coach in this league for 9 years, six as an assistant, three as a head coach. They have to have a certain skill set. And once they have that and you identified, hey, this kid has an ability to play in this league, I think the next two things, and those two things are the priority. They have to have a toughness about them, and they have to be hard-playing dudes. Guys that are going to play hard and guys that have a toughness to it. Because I don't care how talented you are, if they don't have a toughness and they don't play hard, it's going to be a difficult time being successful in this league, and they're going to have a difficult, our staff, the way we are, of coaching them. So those are two really, really big traits for us, how tough they are and how hard they play.
Louisville in the past under Patino is kind of, you know, known for their toughness and defensive ability. In terms of the talent and toughness that you're looking for, Louisville as a program has had some great guards come out recently, from, you know, Peyton Siva to Terry Rozier to Donovan Mitchell, but you've also coached a lot of great guards yourself. So what makes a guard special, and how, you know, in terms of the actual talent identification, what kind of separates somebody from the pack?
You know what, Sean, like you mentioned, I had the pleasure of coaching Chris Paul as an assistant. And then as a head coach at Wake Forest, I coached Jeff Teague, who's with the Timberwolves right now, starter, and Ish Smith started for the Pistons this year. You know, Reggie Jackson was injured most of the year, so Ish Smith started for the Pistons this year. So you're right. Like, what I – excuse the redundancy, but what we talked about before, a toughness and a hard-playing kid. Now, that – and what differentiates the great point guards from the other players is – and people ask me all the time, what makes Chris Paul so good? Well, he's talented, he's really tough, and he plays hard, but – I think what differentiates Chris Paul from some of the other guys is Chris does what the game tells him to do. In other words, if he's coming off ball screen action and he's supposed to throw the ball to the pop guy five straight times, then that's what he does. Like if he comes off the ball screen and they're sagging on him and he's supposed to step back and shoot the three, that's what he does. He never makes his mind up ahead of time. In other words, like, if he comes off the ball screen and hits the roll guy twice, and then one time the guy pops and he throws it back to the pick and pop guy, he doesn't say the next time, damn, you know, last three times I got shots for, you know, Dino and Sean, now it's my turn. No, it's not your turn if it's not what the game is dictating for you to do. So he just has such a great feel for what he should do, and he is a tremendous leader. He is a lion of a leader. He is unaccepting and intolerant of guys that don't play hard or aren't in the right spots. And I think those are some of the ingredients and traits that make him such a good player.
Chris Paul obviously played for some great teams at Wake Forest. And, you know, the team you guys had in 2004-05 when he was a freshman sophomore, very talented. I think, you know, now when you look at KenPom and you kind of go back through the offensive ratings, that Wake Forest team in 05, I believe, was one of the top ranked teams, you know, really since 2002 when KenPom was doing it. But I know this has been a while ago, but, you know, take me back to really, you know, that point in time and coaching such a talented team, you know, CP3, but a lot of other guys. And as you mentioned, you know, ranked number one in the country at one point. And how was it just, you know, going back, you know, not to age ourselves, but going back 10, what do you kind of remember from the Chris Paul-led Wake teams?
Yeah, you know what? We recruited Chris Paul hard, and here's a interesting story. Like, when I was the head coach at Army up at West Point, one of my assistants' name was David Layton, L-A-T-O-N. Well, Dave is from North Carolina, and eventually I left Army and went to another job. And Dave went back to North Carolina to coach high school basketball. Well, a few years later, I had since returned to Xavier a second time when Coach Prosser was the head coach. And Dave calls me and says, hey, Dino, I got this little guard that could really play. I go, Dave, what's his name? He goes, Chris Paul. I go, oh, okay. Now, Chris is a sophomore in high school. Nobody knows who Chris Paul is. And I go, well, what did he do this year, Dave? He goes, well, he averaged 16 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. I go, wow, that's pretty good for sophomore playing varsity. He goes, no, That was on the JV team. His brother CJ is a senior and starts on the varsity. So I'm like, okay, Dave, I'll keep my eye on him. Well, the next year we go to Wake Forest. And I see this little kid playing in an AAU tournament. And I'm like, wow, this little guy's really good. And I look at the roster and it says Chris Paul, does not ring a bell. West Forsyth High School, does not ring a bell. And it says head basketball coach, David Layton. And I go, that's my guy. I go, that's the kid that Dave was telling me about last year. So I call him up. I go, Dave, is this the kid you were telling me about a year ago? He goes, yeah. I go, he goes, what do you think? I go, he's really a good player. He goes, I told you. I go, yeah. I go, you know what, Dave, we're going to recruit him. So, Sean, the rest of the story is we're recruiting Chris Paul really hard. And the number one point guard in the nation that year was Raymond Felton. Well, Raymond commits to North Carolina. So as the recruiting process going on, my guy Dave Layton is telling me every single thing that's happened. This school said this, that school said that, this school said this, blah, blah, blah. So towards the end of that summer, North Carolina comes in. They have already signed, not signed, but commitment from Raymond Felton. And they come in and visit Chris and tell Chris that they want him to walk on at Chapel Hill. So Dave calls me that night and says, hey, listen, you're not going to believe this. And we said, what's that? He goes, Carolina asked him to walk on. So Coach Prosser and I call Chris. Hey, Chris, listen, if you want to go to North Carolina and carry Raymond's bags for 2 years, go ahead, if that's what you want to do. If you want to come here and be our point guard, then come to – well, needless to say, he wasn't going to carry Raymond's bags. So he came to Wake Forest, and now, you know, the rest of the story, was a great player for us and really changed – the program at Wake Forest, where all of a sudden, Sean, coming to Wake for a kid became cool again. And Chris was a big reason for that. And, you know, having coached him 2 years there, he was a special player. And not just a special player, really a special person who came from a great family.
Well, that's you know, an amazing story. And it kind of brings me back to a game his freshman year, and it's actually against Raymond Felton and North Carolina. You guys went into the Dean Dome and won in triple overtime. And to me, that was one of the best, I'd say, regular season games I think I've ever seen. And you guys won 119-114, and we're going at it, but it was a very talented game. And to me, that was, you know, I still remember that all these years later.
Yeah, it was one of the great, and people, and you know, we had only been in the ACC for, I want to say, 3 years or 4 years at the time. But people who have lived on Tobacco Road said that may have been, if not the best regular season game ever, one up. You know what I mean? And it was a great, great game. With there were so many future pros on that floor that it was amazing. And I would kid Coach Williams all the time when I would see Roy. I would say, listen, you got to hope we beat you every year, because every year we've beaten you, you've gone to the win a national championship. In 05, they did. And in 09, we only played once that year, and it was at the Joel Coliseum, and we were fortunate enough to beat Coach Williams' teams, and he won a national championship in 09. So I would say, Roy, got to let us beat you this year, because that bodes well for you guys moving forward.
Well, you know, that 09 team that you guys had, you know, I think people forget just quite how talented it was with, as you mentioned, Jeff Teague, but also James Johnson, Al-Farouq Aminu, and Ish Smith, and L.D. Williams. And, you know, that was, you know, really just looking back on the talent that you guys were able to put together, you know, for that team. And obviously Wake Forest, as you said, kind of Chris Paul made it a cool school to go to. But how was that recruitment process of, you know, those talented guys and getting them really to buy in and all to believe in your vision?
You know what, Sean, that was a tremendously difficult time. And that's one of the things I'm like, you know, really proud of. Like, Coach Prosser passed away on July 26th of 2007, you know, had a tragic heart attack, literally ran on the track at Wake Forest, came back in his office and passed away literally in his office. Jeff Teague and James Johnson were freshmen in summer school. Al-Farouq Aminu, Tony Woods, and Ty Walker, which ended up being the number three recruiting class in the nation at the time, had committed to us. Now, all of those kids could have left. Jeff Teague and James Johnson were in summer school. They could have, you know, school hadn't started officially yet in the fall. They could have left. And Al Farouk Aminu's mom, Andrew Leek, said to me, "Coach, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but you know, Al Farouk came to play for Coach Prosser, so we're gonna reevaluate things." And I said, "Andrew Leek, just give me a chance, because all the reasons that Al Farouk decided to come here are still here. Same philosophy, same brand of play, same great academic school." So, you know what, Sean, we were able to keep that whole thing together. You know, all the kids stayed, all the other recruits that committed stayed. And when everybody was recruiting the heck out of him, you know. So it ends up being when Jeff Teague wasn't really heavily recruited. You know, as an Indiana kid, that's when Kelvin Sampson had some problems and violations at Indiana. So we were able to get him. Pat Kelsey, who's now the head coach at Winthrop. James Johnson was from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And people were like, "How the heck did you get James Johnson out of Cheyenne, Wyoming?" Well, Pat Kelsey played at Wyoming the first 2 years of his career for Joby Wright. And his roommate at Wyoming was James Johnson's high school coach. So those are connections and how we were, because James and Jeff were not really heavily recruited, but they blew up as sophomores. And, you know, as sophomores, you mentioned, we had a young team. We started a freshman, two sophomores, and two juniors. We were the last undefeated team in the nation. We were 16-0, and we were number one in the country that year. And we got beat by Virginia Tech. Coach Greenberg beat us, and we fell to number four. Duke went to number one. And the very next game, we beat Duke at the buzzer when they were one and we were four. And it was a great run for us. I just wish I could have kept Jeff and James together one more year, because I think we could have made a Final Four run with that team if we could have had another year's experience with Johnson and Teague.
Obviously, the hard thing of you know, I'd say North Carolina got lucky in 09 or even 05 of being able to return all those guys. But if you have a Teague that, if he had stayed a junior year, you know, it kind of makes a huge difference. One question for you, you know, spending so much time as both an assistant and then as a head coach in the ACC, now kind of going back to it, what do you see as the biggest, maybe either, I guess, both similarities to what you knew before, as well as maybe some of the main differences that have occurred over the last few years in the conference?
Well, I think the major differences in the ACC is, you know, we first came into the league, there were nine teams, and that was in, I want to say it was 2000, 2001 was our first season. So we're talking nine teams. Now what do we got? 15. So the other thing that's changed is like the kids, there's so much activity and uncertainty with kids transferring and the graduate transfers and kids coming and going, and you're almost recruiting your guys every day. So I think that's the stuff that changed. I think the basketball stuff hasn't changed that much. You know, Coach K was in the league when I was here. Roy was in the league when I was here. Leonard Hamilton, you know, Tony Bennett, who's a dear friend. And so I think the coaches and their styles are more or less the same, but there's just more of the teams. And what is obviously, and I'm biased, I coach in the league for 9 years. This will be year 10 for me. I broadcast the league the last 3 years for ESPN. You know what, Sean? I don't care what measuring stick you use, whether it's historic, whether it's more contemporary, it's the best league in America, with more national champions from this league, more national players of the year, more number one draft picks, more first round draft picks, more Final Fours than any team, and more contemporary. I think we've had eight of the last, and I might be off, in number 17 national champions. You know, some leagues go up and down, hands down, it's the best conference in America. And it was then too, like in 09, Carolina won a national championship when I was the head coach at Wake. In 2010, Duke won the national championship when I was the head coach at Wake. So I just think year in and year out, it's the best league in America.
I'm biased as well, but I definitely agree with you on that. So now, you know, now that you're at Louisville, obviously they've gone through some difficult times lately, but what is, you know, but it's a great historic program with a lot of talent. What is kind of, you know, the recruits now of why Louisville?
Well, what we're trying to tell them is, and let me preface by saying this, Coach Pitino didn't do a good job here. He did a great job here. I mean, everything is in place to be successful from the Yum Center. I broadcast four games at Louisville this year for ESPN. And Chris Mack and I would talk, you know, after the games. He was like, you know, what do you think of that place? Because that thing's going to open up. I go, Chris, I'm going to tell you something. The Yum Center is unbelievable. 22,000 people. The fans just pack the place in. You know, when they had the meltdown last year, Sean, against Virginia at the end of that game, which was, boy, as a coach, I don't care who you're rooting for. It was tough to watch. They're in the NCAA tournament. They win that game. So, you know, TNT and CBS had the NCAA tournament. We at ESPN had the NIT. So I got the first NIT game at Louisville. So I'm telling my broadcasting partner, Anish Shroff, I go, man, Anish, whew, it's going to be bad in there tonight. They should have been in the NCAA tournament. It's an NIT game. I don't know what kind of crowd's going to be there in this 22,000-seat arena. We walk in there. The place is packed. They had to have 17,000 people there. It was rocking. And so they're great basketball fans, great facilities. The practice, they call it the Little Yum, the practice facility, the offices. Coach had, Pitino has everything in place here. What we have to do now is try to rebrand, not rebuild, rebrand the Louisville basketball name. Make it proud again for people to come here and want to be a part of this. And, you know, Chris Mack had a lot of questions. He, you know, he could have had a lot of jobs down through the years. And he had a lot of questions about moving forward. And he really felt good with the athletic director who had met with Oliver Luck and people with the NCAA. And he felt good and we feel good about where this thing is moving forward because, you know, they let the president go. They fired the athletic director. They fired the head coach. So I think the NCAA is looking upon like, hey, Louisville did the right thing this time around. They brought in a whole new staff and a new athletic director. So I think moving forward, we're excited. Short term, Sean, you know, we only got eight guys on scholarship right now. We're trying to grab a couple graduate transfers that could come in and help us and provide us depth until we get our the 2019 recruiting class a stronghold with those guys. And then by bringing in a couple graduate transfer guys who will graduate in 2019, it won't affect the 2019 recruiting class for us, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And you know, adding some players that have the strength and have played at a competitive level for the 3 to 4 years obviously makes a great deal of sense. You know, in addition to playing in the Yum Center, 22,000 with a rabid fan base. So I can tell in your voice just how excited you are to, you know, to be back in coaching and to be at Louisville specifically. So, you know, one kind of final question. You know, obviously talking through Wake and Xavier and your connection with Chris Mack, Skip Prosser, who you talked about, you know, was he kind of your, you know, just looking, you mentioned Wheeling coaching there in high school, and I know Skip coached there, but I just wanted you to kind of, you know, really take me back to the beginning and curious of when you guys first connected and then, you know, how it was going from Wheeling high school all the way to Xavier as an assistant coach.
Well, you know what happened. I came out of a college with an accounting degree, and I worked for a year and a half as an accountant. And I about lost my mind. So I wanted to get into coaching. You know, I was just 22 years old. I was playing in like three basketball leagues in the night, and I just wanted to get into coaching. So I would sneak back in the evenings and go to a branch of the school that I went to, Ohio University. I grew up and lived in Ohio and got my teaching certificate. So one day in August, I look in the newspaper back when you used to have that and people used to read newspapers. And I look and it's August 10th and it says, business teacher, assistant basketball coach, Wheeling Central Catholic High School. Now, where I grew up in Eastern Ohio was literally West Virginia and Ohio was like right across the bridge. So it was like 10 miles from where I lived. So I call the school. Secretary says, hey, can you come in tomorrow? I go, yep, I'll be in. Or she goes, 10 o'clock. I interview for an hour. I drive home, 15 minutes it takes me. And the secretary calls me and goes, hey, you did a great job. You got the job. Now, little did I know at the time, I was so naive, they are dying to hire a business teacher because school starts in 2 weeks. The head coach is Skip Prosser, who I'd never met. And the principal's name was Dr. Joseph Villietta. So the principal, Doc Villietta, calls Skip and says, Skip, I hired you a basketball coach. And Skip says, Doc, who did you hire? I don't even get to meet the guy. Doc goes, Skip, he's a really good young guy. Skip goes, who is it? He goes, Dino Gaudio. He goes, Dino Gaudio, who is that? He goes, Skip, he's a good young guy. He goes, he could really coach. He goes, Skip goes, how do you know he could coach? And the principal goes, he told me he could. So Skip goes, Doc, you hire every teacher that tells you they could teach. And that's how I met Skip Prosser. And, you know, we were together for 27 years. We were best friends. I was best man in his wedding. He baptized my youngest daughter, Alyssa. And it was just, I was lucky, Sean. He was a great coach, a great person, and a great teacher, and taught me so much about teaching in the classroom, being a mentor to me as a basketball coach. And he went to Xavier when Pete Gillen got the job at Xavier from Notre Dame. I became the head coach at the high school, and I was lucky. Skip left me good players. We were state runner-up 1 year. We were state champions the next year. And when Xavier had another opening, I think because Skip had done such a good job there, and I used to work that camp, Pete Gillen hired me at Xavier, and Skip and I were together again there as assistants. And then that's where Chris Mack came on board, and I coached Chris in 1990. And that's how it all started. That's where the relationship all developed and began. And I was blessed to be mentored by Skip Prosser and Pete Gillen, and got me started on my coaching career, which is now 38 years long.
Wow. Well, you know, that's, you know, quite the journey, and it's kind of amazing just how full circle it's come now working with Chris at Louisville after, you know, coaching him and the connections as well. So to thank you for coming on, this has been fantastic. Hopefully can have you on down the road, because I definitely sure. learned a lot and really enjoyed chatting with you. But as I said, I can sense the excitement in your voice, and excited to see how the summer recruiting period goes for you, as well as the upcoming season. So thanks a lot for coming on.
Sure, Sean. Anytime I could help.
That wraps up another edition of the Sean Mo Hoops Pod with Coach Dino Gaudio. Thank you to everyone for listening to the podcast today, and see you all next week.